Hola, everybody. This is Lucilania.
Hey, what's up? This is Steph coming at you live.
And this is Sex and Sensuality for the Churchy Podcast. All right, y'all. So the last 2 weeks have been a bit heavy and very deeply personal and very important and serious conversations. And we're going to keep it rolling. Don't want to make this into a, as much as I have been accused as such, a church bashing podcast. There'll be plenty of time for that when it's necessary. But in our conversation, this one-on-one, this is my brother, we came across something that I was like, you know, that might be, let's stop, let's halt this conversation via text message and let's take it to the podcast and talk about it. And so I wanted to pose the question, obviously, to my co-host Steph, but to all of you listening, watching on YouTube, how often in church did you hear the scripture about taking up your cross and following Christ? And what did that teaching mean to you? How was it taught to you? How was it explained to take up your cross and what that really means?
Wow. So I've heard it a lot. It's almost like the battle cry in many ways. And it is the way of letting people know that, you know, ultimately it's all about Christ, right? You know, you need to pick up your cross like he did, carry it, knowing that in carrying it at some point, you may even die, right? And so as much as we benefited and honor Jesus for his martyrdom, I think that's even the word, is it really possible for us to be martyrs ourselves in the same way? And that's something that we were thinking about, like, because I think people sometimes want to believe that as long as they're willing to go to death for their cause, then it's valid, legitimate. And I think it's a really good conversation to really go into, because I think there is a lot of people who sacrifice so much of their lives or sacrifice so much of themselves, and think by doing so, they're actually benefiting others, when in reality, they're not benefiting them at all. And so that's something I think has always been interesting for me.
Yeah, you know, it's, when I thought about it, it really started to make me think about how we take that scripture and how often it's applied in interpersonal relationships and how easy, unfortunately, it is for some to manipulate the scripture because, yeah, you know, taking up your cross one is what's your cross, which means that each and every person's cross is different.
Yes.
We all have an individual cross to bear. And Jesus's cross was his cross alone. But often, I know for me, based off of what I now look at as an imbalanced teaching of that scripture, it often meant that I was showing up sort of kind of choosing to be a martyr in relationships. And denying myself, which is another scripture that is used a lot, like denying myself for their benefit, which at face value isn't bad per se, because if I love you, right, I'll sacrifice things, I'll compromise. But the danger of that is one, being with someone who's abusive, doing it to the detriment of yourself, even if they aren't abusive. And how often, and the older I get, I think this is something that was often kind of looked at as like, this is what women do. Like they just get in relationships, get in marriages. And then 20, 30 years later, they get so tired of denying themselves that they're like, I'm out. And the husband's like confused. You see it on TVs and movies. Like they didn't even know you had a problem because you are so used to like treating yourself as a martyr, and you thought that that's what you were supposed to do, that you never spoke up. And the moment you try to speak up or you don't speak up at all, you're just out.
It's a movie, right? It's a movie. It's the movie where you're the person who gives everything and anything And in the end, the person you love is able to somehow benefit from it and become better for it. And you somehow die in the sunset as everything else becomes perfect for everyone else. And that's not how it is in the real world. You know, there are mental, physical, spiritual things that can happen to you that as a result of feeling like I have to be the one to do everything. It's all on me. I have to sacrifice so much for my family, for my job, and all these other things, not realizing that your sacrifice is only considered a sacrifice after the fact, not during, right? Yeah. So in the time that you're doing all these things, we would like to believe that we're focused on, let's say, our family and saying, you know what, I'm working all these extra hours because I want my family to have a good life. And that may be true. But are you also working a lot of those extra hours because you don't want to confront the fact of what your relationship looks like with your partner? That's a possibility as well. Yeah. You know, so I think really what it comes down to is being honest with yourself and saying, because I've had to do this with myself. I am notorious, okay, for feeling like I've sacrificed a lot or continue to sacrifice a lot for my family, you know, for my friends, you know, always trying to put myself out there. Anything that they need, I'm there, right? It was almost like a slogan. Not realizing that I was hurting myself by doing that. I was not creating the boundaries that I needed to create by doing that. And in my own mental health, it also meant that I did not see myself with as much value as someone else, right? Mm-hmm. So unless I did something, then I had value. And as a result, the more I did, the more I sacrificed, the more value I should have. And in retrospect, that wasn't the case. And again, this is not to say that, you know, you shouldn't work hard or sacrifice is necessary in certain aspects. It's the idea that you consciously consider it to be something more than what it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, because there's a difference between, you know, just the normal sacrifice, the healthy ways in which we sacrifice because we love someone and we care about them, and sacrificing yourself to the point that you disrespect your boundaries, your needs, you don't show up. And in ways, intentionally or not, when you do that, they get that. And they more than likely are going to feel like burdened and blamed, even if you aren't actively blaming them. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, are we, especially when we're doing it and that person is like, did I ask you to?
How about that?
No, and I know for me, what happens is I would show up in relationships and do all of this stuff, mm-hmm, and think that they were going to show up the same way. And when they didn't, I would begin to resent them, except they never asked for the way that I show up, although they accepted it, because why wouldn't they? They're like, oh, well, this is what she wants to do. Mm-hmm. So why would I stop her from doing it? Yeah, it benefits me. But I never asked her to, and I never said that I was going to do the same. And I wasn't actually telling them until I was like at a place where I was super activated to say, well, I'm doing this and this is what I expect of you. I was going off or in my own way, you know, shutting down or whatever, because I'm like, oh, and I would feel violated, except part of my healing, I had to realize, bitch, you violating your damn self.
Mm-hmm. All day, every day.
To have a boyfriend tell me, yeah, I don't need you to do that. Like, if you want to do it, cool, but I just love you. Like, you can just be. And to learn, like, wait, what does that mean? What does that even fucking look like? What does that look like?
We need to edit that out of this. No, don't ever speak those words.
Just I had to really, like, completely change the trajectory of how I show up in relationships. And realize, wait, here's the gift, is when you start to learn to do that, you start to realize who actually really loves you for you.
Now that is the real gift. And I've learned that, because there were times when I couldn't do more than what I was able to. And I was incapacitated for whatever the reason. And at those times was when I realized that the people who were really behind me, they didn't let things like that get in the way. there were always going to be there. You know, I've moved a lot. I've been on social media. Sometimes I'm not. And I will tell you that it is amazing to me in 2022 or 2023, the people in my life that keep track of me without social media, you know, they'll call me, text me, whatever. And that says to me a lot, because that shows that I matter. Like, I mean something, even if it's not the convenient way that, you know, someone may like to get in communication with me, but they'll find a way anyway. And I will say, when it comes to, and it was something you just said a little while ago about, like, the whole idea of I'm sacrificing, but if I were to ask you, you would say, like, I never asked you to do that. I have to say that it is something I had to come to terms with, in the sense that I could work as hard as I want. I can make as much money as I want. I can try to be as much as perfect as I can be. And yet none of those things adds up to the gift of time, right? Ultimately, my family, my friends, all they want from me, if I wasn't working or taking care of stuff, is time. They want time to spend with me, okay? Not because I'm the flyest person in the world, because I am who I am for them, right? And that can get really lost when you're always focusing on your ability to do versus your ability not to do, right?
Because it's about balance, because, you know, I've had a lot of niggas be, they present, and they ain't got nothing else but presence of dick. And baby, I mean, you know, the dick be immaculate most times, because they know that they ain't got shit else to bring to the table. But after a while, dick and presence start to get old, because it's like, okay, we need to diversify your offerings, okay? You gotta have a little bit more. But when you come into the table with personality, with career, with drive, with passion, mm-hmm. and this, and you're so far over there that I can't get quality time out of you, it's like, and here's the thing, and I know people, a lot of dudes get triggered when I start saying this, when you start to learn about, in a very healthy way, divine masculine and divine feminine energies, it really goes to the fact that as a society, we value masculinity in ways we don't value femininity. The feminine, mm-hmm. oftentimes is valued when it benefits someone else. And that stuff is the connection, the creativity, the intuition, mm-hmm. the nurturing, the love, all of those things, where the divine masculine is courage and leadership and decision and all those things, which are great. I'm not saying, and we need to be both, though. That's all I'm saying, is society and the Black man's endeavor to be respected in society, oftentimes a danger with the Black woman because of society. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, a lot of what we hear of people, men, Black men who want to date Black men, women, are complaining about that women are just so masculine, without actually acknowledging why. Now, I have no issue. If you are a woman, are non-binary, and you lead with masculine energy, do you. You have your choice. Mm-hmm. That is no problem. But for men who want to date and be with feminine women, one, you're not dealing with a woman who's 100% feminine. That just doesn't exist. Now, her levels change, and it's her choice, and how she presents is different. I was like, but let's acknowledge that we live in a society that, when you think about CEOs, now, if it's a woman, she's a bitch. But we praise these men for being super masculine, because it's like, oh, you're at the top of the food chain. You're rich, mm-hmm. you're this and the other. And it's because of all of these masculine things.
Well, it's almost like the, on social media, I keep, you know, these people are like, I'm an alpha, you know, or, you know, I don't want to deal with these betas. And, you know, it's like, identifying yourself as such, you know, you're doing so because you feel like, if I tell you that I'm my alpha male, that it comes with all these wonderful things, like a package that you're going to get. And, you know,
it's but here's the thing. Here's the thing. One, if alpha males is really a thing, you ain't going to say it. You won't have to.
Exactly.
Everyone knows that you're alpha. Everybody knows. I was like, but even more than that, the man who wrote that book has been actively trying to get it taken off the market, and the publisher won't. Because he realized that when he did his study, it was skewed, because wolves in the wild don't act like that. He was studying wolves in captivity. And so that says a lot, especially when we see our brothers be out here on some, I'm alpha male, this, any other. I'm like, yo, you were identifying with wolves in captivity.
And not even realizing it.
It's not his choice. The book is still in circulation, probably for conversations like that, because men want to prove that, oh, hypermasculinity means I'm an alpha male and I'm this and the other. And I'm like, yeah, if that is a thing, there are men out there that just naturally have a presence about them that men, women, and otherwise just submit.
Yeah.
And if that's what you want to call alpha male, I've never seen a man that is truly like that, that ever walked around telling anyone or announcing himself as such.
Yeah, it is the manner in which you carry yourself. It is the manner in which you speak. It is the manner in your confidence level. You know, those are the things that you recognize as being ultimately in the forefront for this person, right? And just because you may not necessarily identify as being a so-called alpha male, right? What does that make you now? So it looks like there's alpha males and there's everyone else, right? And it's a sad thing, because ultimately, what are we sacrificing there? We're sacrificing a sense of ourself and our being to an idea that someone has created that only benefits them, but in reality doesn't speak for the entire, you know, human race, you know, male race, but all the men out there, because we are diverse. And like you said, there's a balance. We know when to be sometimes, let's say, the tough guy, the guy who's there, you know. But then when we actually are a lot of times in privacy with our partner, especially, if, you know, with a woman, it doesn't even be a woman, it could be a man. We become soft, right? You know, you have to do certain things in order to connect. Yeah, that's the hope, right? You hope that, you know, you're able to connect with that person by getting to a meeting point in terms of the emotional connection you have. So it doesn't mean that you become super soft because your partner maybe is a really, you know, in touch, you know, they give off that feminine energy that you're like, you know what, I really like that.
Yeah.
But you're going to realize that you're not always like this 24/7.
Yeah.
You know,
but I think too, like, I think when I really consider, especially how I've shown up in the past, and realizing, one, I was treating myself like I was a martyr, sacrificing myself to the detriment of myself, really because one of arbitrary ideals and things I was trying to live up to that I hadn't even asked that person if that's what they were expecting of me. It was just old programming, a lot of it religious, you know, a lot of it familial, and how, you know, my grandfather would say certain things and say, oh, well, this is what men want. And this is, you know, and so I'm trying to do all those things because ultimately I want to be chosen. But then looking back and realizing that a lot of that and those very things was actually what was a hindrance to connection. Because I couldn't, because even as a woman, I wasn't able to show up in the ways that you were just describing, because I'm too busy trying to fit into some box. I wasn't showing up as my full self. I hadn't even really fully connected to who that was, because I spent most of my life trying to fit into a mold that meant, and the only way I could even attempt to fit into that mold was by cutting off parts of myself. And then wondering why he wasn't loving me for the sacrifice I was making.
That really brings up an interesting point that, you know, when you go into a relationship, obviously you and that person have your differences, right? And your similarities. And you're not typically saying to yourself, you know what, if I am a, you know, I love to eat Cheetos at 12 a.m. in the morning, right? That's like my thing. It's annoying, as you can tell, right? As much as I try to hide that, right, it's important for me to still bring that, because that person needs to know that I have that crazy habit. And if I decide to make some changes in my life as a result of it, at least that's a choice that I've made, right? I'm not saying to myself, well, in order for this to work, I have to deny myself and my being for whatever it is, right? And I think that happens a lot, that we hide pieces of ourselves, you know, thinking we're showing up, but we're showing up in pieces.
Yeah.
You know, and then people are confused when we show up in other ways and they're like, well, I've never seen you that way before. And yeah, you're right, because I never allowed myself to be vulnerable enough to just say, let me show up as a whole person. Now, does that mean that there are times when you're going to have to be, you know what? I'm not even going to say that, because I'm starting to learn that more and more. I'm thinking about times like your job, right? You know, we always think about the fact that you have to be professional, right? Here's your professional self.
Yeah.
And then there's whatever else you're beyond that. And I'm starting to learn that your professional self doesn't have to be devoid of who you are. Like you can still be professional and still be who you are.
Yeah.
And we're doing
a lot of work to mm-hmm. to really show that we don't have to diminish ourselves so much to harm. And that doesn't mean that we bring everything to the job. Like there's still nuance and balance there, but you know, there are shifts happening. And even though, and to even acknowledge that we haven't historically been able to do that, it doesn't mean that it was right. Just because we had to, and some people probably still have to, and in some ways we're still mm-hmm. navigating that terrain, it doesn't mean that it's right.
Because you hope the journey is about, at the end of your journey, whenever that happens, that there's a true realization of who you are in that moment, right? And you can't get to that if you're always focused on being something that you're not in order to make everything else work around you. And I did that a lot. I used to show up in a way that I felt was predictable for people and acceptable. Mm-hmm. And it worked. It was easy. You know, I would get into a space, you know, I'd start talking and saying certain things, knowing how to kind of move the conversation. But in that entire time that I spoke, I never gave any information about myself. I left with you knowing my name, maybe what I did, but I knew everything about you.
Yeah.
And I realized that as fun as that was, you know, it wasn't allowing the people around me to get a better sense of who I am, especially when those moments are very limited, because it is true. Your reputation does precede you. People will hear about you before they meet you. And off of the information they hear about you, they'll either say it is real, is true to what I've realized about you or heard about you, or it's not. But you would hope that the reputation you put out there is true to who you are, because you've been doing the work of trying to be as unified as possible. And it, again, it's work. You know, this is not something that you just overnight decide and say, I'm just going to be the best version of myself every single day. Let me put on my cape. Like, it doesn't work that way. You know.
Well, so what I've learned is that it was essentially what you're describing is just being authentic. And there are key components to authenticity. For a while, I was like, oh, I'm being myself. But being myself in most times, for most of my adult life, really meant just like I would show up and I wouldn't necessarily like, I'm not doing things to necessarily try to get people to like me. But most often in most, you know, public settings, I'm just quiet, kind of blending in.
Mm-hmm.
Where I did a lot of shape shifting was really in romantic relationships. So whatever I was sensing that they kind of wanted me to be, I would be that thing. And so with one ex, I'm, you know, oh, he wants me to be this sex pot. And I am disrespecting myself and literally having no boundaries because, oh, he wants to have open relationships / be a swinger. And I'm like, and I didn't really like it when I tried it. But I also, as much as I would like say things to him, I didn't know how to set boundaries because, again, you know, all that religious programming, as much as like I knew, you know, sex was wrong and all these things and it felt wrong, I didn't know how to navigate that in that space. And I didn't have resources to go to somebody because I'm gonna go to somebody and be like, yeah, so I'm swinging and I don't want to break up with him, but I don't want to do it anymore without feeling like they're about to like come down on me real, real hard, mm-hmm. which whether or not it's my fault, I take responsibility for that, but it wouldn't have been helpful. So you just kind of go in. And so learning, you know, going through that and realizing how I showed up and how I didn't show up and how I didn't protect myself and didn't have boundaries and shape-shifted. And especially as I'm like healing from the abuse and starting to understand it, I also started to learn like, okay, so to be authentic, I have to know myself. And in a lot of ways, I don't think we do a good job of even really making space for children, for our children to know themselves without us telling them who and what they are.
Oh,
regardless of whether or not we have good intentions about what we're telling them.
We want many versions of ourselves
that
are able to accomplish the things that we never got to accomplish.
Yep. Right.
And that even for me has been interesting with my son, because in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to work hard to provide for you a life that I did not have, right? The quality of life that I did not have. And that becomes my excuse as to why I do all these things when there's a point in time, like you said, imbalance, that I should be able to be available to you, to sit down with you, have a talk with you, play a game, whatever, right? Not on my terms, mm-hmm. on your terms.
On your terms, the way that you want. And I've seen a lot of parents, not just fathers, I've seen a lot of parents do that. And when their child becomes a teenager, young adult, and they start to speak up more often, or the parent is wondering, because they think and assume that because of all the things they did, that they mm-hmm. are entitled to a certain kind of relationship. And then that child starts to kind of diverge from them in ways that it's unexpected. And they mm-hmm. want to wonder, or either they're faking it and acting like they have this close relationship, or they know and it's completely obvious and they blame that child. Because they don't realize you never cultivated, you were a great provider. But when did you actually cultivate the relationship? And you want them to give you a pass because you sacrificed, you martyred yourself. You took up your cross as a parent
mm-hmm.
to give them what you didn't have, to work hard. And in a lot of cases, there are parents that don't have that choice, that are, you know, don't have privilege and aren't making good money. And so that means that they have to work long hours.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we pray that there's grace and that children understand. But even if they, especially like these children don't understand and they know how it felt, at what point do you start to realize, like, oh, and start to repair that from a place that is not full of ego and pride because of all that you sacrificed for them? Go ahead.
Well, and then again, it's still the sacrificing allows you to project yourself in ways that you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's easier for me to say that, you know, I had to work, you know, or I had to, like, at one point I was traveling for work, which is, I couldn't control that. But knowing that, that meant that the times I wasn't, I could have used that time to spend more time with him, right? Being very conscious and intentional about that, instead of it just being, well, maybe I'll get to it, like, you know, I get to the laundry. You mm-hmm. know, I know I need to do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it becomes overwhelming, but yeah. eventually it gets done.
Yeah.
But it is nice to know that there is an opportunity to not have to kill myself in more ways than one in order to be valued by the people around me. Selenia knows this for more than anybody else. I've struggled a lot with mental health, okay? To the point where I got so good at it that people just didn't even know. I mean, they were shocked.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, shocked that I could go to work every day, be as charismatic, you know, go get it. Just completely shocked that the person that they were seeing at some point completely thought the complete opposite of themselves, to the point where it really endangered parts of my life. But it was easy to do so because I believed that if I sacrifice parts of myself, if I'm doing it for the sake of someone else,
mm-hmm.
then I can validate it.
Yeah.
And I think it's easier for guys to do that. But at the end of the day, people want time, you know, like, and again, doesn't mean that you have to stop working. We live in a society that's very focused on making that money, you know, producing, consuming. If you're not at the top, then you're not at the top. Yeah. You know, you should feel bad for not being at the top. You should be feel bad for not having like five hustles and, you know, but there's a lot of people in the world who don't care about that stuff.
Yeah.
Who don't care about how much money they have in the bank. They just want to have a life that they can spend with their family, their friends, the freedom to be themselves, not realizing that they're doing that because they've made that a choice.
Yeah.
And that's the point that I came to is I realized it's a choice. I made a choice and I have to keep making that choice.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing. The hustle and grind culture that is causing us to really to sacrifice so much to our own detriment and to the detriment of people that we love, also is causing us to be very disconnected with ourselves and our experiences. Because when do you even have the time to check in? When do you even, and if you have the moment to decompress, like, again, you're so exhausted and so spent in your spirit, your mind, your body. We're making so many decisions that, like, there's a thing that called decision fatigue that we, you know, how often are we not catching illnesses early because we are so used to going that we barely even acknowledge the pain that we feel in our body. And we only take it seriously when it prevents us from doing what we got to do to get it done. And the otherwise, is, it's not a problem.
Well, the sad thing is it becomes, you get to a point where feeling sleepy, tired, exhausted becomes the norm, right? And that happens to me a lot. You know, there was a point when I was working, you know, two jobs, one overnight, one during the day. I barely slept. And I literally got to a point where I was numb to the feeling of, you know, being exhausted. It was just normal. You know, I'm just, if I'm tired, that's normal. I didn't know what it felt like to be refreshed and alert. And it wasn't until I got that, that my life even changed more, because now my body had what it needed. And I can actually function in a higher point than I was before. Yeah. You know, I could do it. You know, you could push your car to the point that you want to. Should you? You know, that's your discretion, right? So
good luck. Right? But yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, like, it's understandable. Like, lack of sleep and stress can cause and or exacerbate so much illness in our body. It means that somebody could be not understanding, like, I don't even eat that much. How am I gaining weight? Because your body doesn't have what it needs to be able to regenerate, because we're stressed and we're exhausted trying to live off 2-3 hours of sleep, or maybe you get more but it's not quality sleep because you're not at rest, you're anxious. And so it's in those moments that I'm always inviting people to start to do the work to really feel themselves, really get in touch with themselves, and begin to understand what messages our bodies are sending to us, whether it's an actual physical pain and needing to go to the doctor, or whether these are just emotions that we're feeling in our body. And the more that we disregard them, the more that we disrespect them, because they are demanding to be respected.
Yeah.
The more harm we cause every time we you know, diminish our needs and in the vein of sacrificing, we taking a hit.
Oh, we're taking massive hits. You know, there's a reason why. I mean, I remember it used to be almost a point of pride of how much I could do with little sleep, right? Man, I only got like 4 hours, but yet, you know, I went through the full day. But we don't talk about when we crashed.
Yeah,
right?
That crash.
We crashed hard. But there's a reason why our bodies require that many hours of sleep. Like, when you really think about it, 8 hours is a long time to be incapacitated, because your body is doing so much, makes you realize, you know what? Maybe I really do need to stop chipping off. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. Over the years, it was hard to feel like I was making the right choice about, you know, sleeping on time, making that a priority. But now, as I've gotten older, I'm like, listen, I need my 8 hours.
and listen, and me, the single person who hasn't been married, you know, I'm just like, maybe I got a really skewed view of marriage, but I just be like, yo, people, y'all married people always complain and be so tired. All this stuff. When are y'all fucking? When listen, do y'all have, and if you are doing it, listen, how much energy do you have when you're doing it?
Listen, that's
or y'all secret. Just be like, look, let's get it. Okay, we're done. If that's the case, there's a whole lot of single folk that's like, y'all can have it. Y'all can have marriage. We like, don't want it.
It's like, well, it's like anything else. You're going to have moments when you have all this energy and, you know, you're like, hey, we about to do this. And then there's other times where you're like, you know what? I'm going to sleep. Like, I got nothing for you. I'm going to sleep. But it goes back again to the idea that, like everything else, you have to be very intentional, right? And so if I'm you know, if I'm really honest with myself, and this is something I really enjoy, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that it is both enjoyable for me and for my wife, and making sure that we can actually have time to do it. Now, that's when you got, you know, vacations, you know, staycations, you know, send the kids off. Like, you find creative ways to get your time.
Let me take my vitamins. Okay? but you know what? I think that also kind of leads us, and I think we could probably close on this note, that I think what's really, really important when we're talking about sacrifice and not being martyrs in the sense, you know, we not Jesus, we're not saving nobody's soul. Nope. And understanding, one, that scripture is not talking about sacrificing, you know, to the detriment of yourself in relationships. That's about your cause, your purpose, and mm-hmm. how we die to self, how we subject and die to self in the way of the things that are keeping us from our destiny. But in other ways, we got to be very aware of what our non-negotiables are. And so that way, when we get in relationships, platonic, romantic, otherwise, and because some sacrifice is going to happen, that when those non-negotiables are coming up, we know this is a no-go. I can't, because in those non-negotiables, that would mean I'm sacrificing myself to the detriment of myself, because I mm-hmm. know what I need in order to show up in my life and in this relationship in a healthy way. I'm not talking about
compromise.
Right. I'm not talking about, you know, I need chicken every Sunday or he got to be 6'2". Like, that's nice. But I'm talking about I will not be in relationship with someone who gaslights me. That is a non-negotiable. And if I do and I stay and he has shown me that he is going to gaslight me anytime it serves him, I am choosing to sacrifice myself in a way that is harmful to me in order to maintain connection and to maintain the relationship. And I've done that because I wasn't clear on what my non-negotiables were, and it was not pretty. And so now that I am aware, now that I know what that looks like, how it makes me feel, how it harms me in any relationship, romantic or otherwise, you get one time and say, hey, maybe you didn't realize that that's what you're doing, but that's what that is. That is not okay. And you double down and you have shown me that you have no desire, no inclination to change that behavior, and that you are going to continue to attempt to or gaslight me. Mm-hmm. It is my responsibility to get up and go.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stay and sacrifice myself to try to change you.
And the final note for me is, it's okay to not be at that place already. Like, you know, it's okay that, you know, sometimes just the level of awareness that you have is the beginning point for change.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're in a situation where you're like, you know what, I can't be myself, or you know, I sacrifice a lot, at least you're at that point where you can actually be aware that it's happening, versus there was a point you never even knew that you were doing it. It was so subconscious. So, you know, be thankful for where you're at, but also know that there's possibilities beyond that, and that who you are is who you are. And it's best to love who you are than not. So.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Sex and Sensuality for the Churchy. Make sure you like, follow, subscribe, mm-hmm. share with a friend or two or three or four. Leave 20. Us a review. Leave us a comment. Let us know your thoughts. We want to know what you're thinking, how you're feeling mm-hmm. about this, about anything. DM me. I am Am Lou Selenia on TikTok and Instagram. I love to hear from you all. And as always, as I end every single episode, be as radiant as the sun. Bye.
Bye-bye.